This is Pastor Jeff, and I want to welcome you now to session number 3, where we focus on the facts. We've looked at the fundamental truths and principles of needing to be guided by God's Word, in God's will, by God's ways, the framework of all human life. Now let's take a look at the big picture and understand how things have gone from the beginning of time up to when we will have a closure of time as we know it. I'd like to give you as much of the imagery as I can, so I'm going to give you a full screen picture and walk with you through 9 stages of human history. Now, this may not align with what you've heard in your academic settings, but I promise you, this is true and in line with God's Word. Let me give you a preview of where we're going, and then we'll walk through this together. The big picture facts include starting with Creator God. Secondly, coming to understand the challenge that we all face. Third, to see God's cure as laid out in the Bible. Fourth, to understand the role of God's commandments. Fifth, then to see the role of God's commission. At that point, we'll have a perspective on understanding the placement of God's church and the relationship of role and role of each Christian as it ushers in the completion that Christ has designed, which will lead us to finally number 9, closure. Let me show you what I mean. Number 1, the facts involve Creator God. Creator God, and here you see the one circle that encloses the Trinity of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all together 3 persons in one God. This is the biblical God of Christianity. This is the one true God, the only God worthy of capital G. And everything begins, the facts begin by acknowledging that in the beginning, Creator God created all that would come. And we know from reading both Genesis 1 and John 1 that Jesus is not only the Christ, but he's also the Creator. So step number 1 is to see Creator God, Father, Son, and Spirit. As we move on now to number 2, the facts reveal the challenge that we all have. And we're again going to use the 3 circle diagram to acknowledge that the Creator, the creation, and corruption all come together to represent the challenge of life. Now, Creator is Father, Son, and Spirit. We saw that. Creation, it represents all things. Angels, all the way to Adam and every man and woman that has come since. And the corruption is revealed in the Bible through our understanding of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We see our own desires, the devil's efforts, and the deception of others. Now, when you look at the subset between the Creator and creation, what you'll see there is love, that our God did not need to create. It's a demonstration of his love. When you look at the subset between creation and corruption, here you see sin. And when you look at the subset between the Creator and corruption, you see hate. And at the center, you want to understand the challenge? This is life. We live in a great challenge. That's life, the reality of living in the midst of the Creator, the creation, and corruption. From number 2 and understanding the challenge, let's look at the cure. And now we transition to number 3 of 9. The cure is number 1, God's Word, number 2, God's Spirit, and number 3, God's people. Notice here again that you have the coming together of all 3, that when we talk about the reality of the Christian life or the reality of the challenges that we face, or the reality of the cures that God has given us, they're never single-faceted. Here, to understand the cure, it's God's Word, God's Spirit, and God's people. and where and when you see God's Word and God's Spirit together, His purposes are revealed. When you see God's Spirit and God's people together, God's power is on display. And when you see God's people and God's Word come together, you see the potential that is unlimited. When you get to the center, what you'll find then is the cure, God's cure. Whatever sin ails anyone, whatever sin is at work in the world, where and when God's Word, God's Spirit, and God's people come together, the cure has been introduced. Amen. Well, let's look at number four. As we transition, what we'll now see are the commandments. And here, God's truth, God's love, and the reality of spiritual warfare are on display. God has made it clear in His Word that His truth must be understood and shared. His love must be embraced, and it must become the culture. And the reality of spiritual warfare will be the context in which the commandments are to be lived out. When you and I see truth and love in action, that's called ministry. Where we see God's love and spiritual warfare, oftentimes this is where we'll find the martyrs. And when we see God's warfare and the truth on display, this is what we call mission. When you add all of this together and you come to the heart of God's commandments, what you'll find is the call. The call on every biblical believer. Now, from the commandments, we move to number five, to what we call the commissioning. And notice again, this is like a funneling effect. We're working our way through human history and all of reality, not looking at the calendar, but by following Christ. So number five is His commission. And to understand His commission is to recognize that God and His Word have told us to, number one, deliver the Word, and then to develop the worshipers, and from there to deploy the workers. Now, when we deliver the Word and we develop the worshipers, but that's all we do, if that's where we stay, that's a cocoon, and that's not healthy. But if we look at the developing of worshipers and the deploying of workers, and that's all we do, we don't deliver the Word, here you have the cults, those that are looking like they're developing people and actually deploying them, but without the truth. That's the essence of a cult. That's the Mormons, that's the Jehovah's Witnesses, and countless others. If we look at those who deploy the workers and deliver the Word, but don't develop the worshipers, this is the conveyor belt ministries. They don't really equip the people, they just send them out. And as a personal note, this is oftentimes where you'll find the martyrs, because they were never really equipped. So it's all three. When we deliver the Word, develop the worshipers, and deploy the workers, and that's happening in a healthy context, at the center what you'll find is the church, the capital C Church of Jesus Christ. Now, that brings us to number six, the church. What happens when we take a closer look at the church? The church is going to be committed to the content first of truth and love, the miracle, the Messiah, and the mission. That content will be wrapped in a culture that is built on loving, learning, and living out the truth. And that culture will embrace the reality of the conflict that is war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. So the church focuses in on the content, the culture, and the conflict of reality in Christ. When you look at those who embrace the content and the culture, but have not yet been tested by the conflict, you have a biblical seedling per Jesus in the parable of the soils. When you have those who embrace a loving culture and a willingness to deal with the conflict, but they don't have the content of truth, that's a heresy. And if you look at those who are embracing the conflict and hold to the content of the truth, but they're lacking love, those are the Pharisees. But if you take the content of God's truth and the culture of God's love and proved to have persevered through the conflict of spiritual warfare. At the center of that church, you will find a true biblical Christian. And that leads us to number 7, the Christian. What happens when you zoom in and take a closer look at the Christian? You'll find that first, the Christian needs to know the character, the commands, and the commissioning of God. Secondly, that Christian will grow in their healing, in their holiness, and in their helpfulness of others. And lastly, that Christian will go locally, regionally, and globally, if not physically, at least spiritually through prayer. That there is a 100% participation call on every Christian. And when this has happened in a healthy context, again, what we'll see at the core is a transformation that every Christian, per 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, represents a miraculous transformation that has been done through the power and for the purposes and via the promise of Almighty God. Now we're coming to a close. We've now gotten down to the heartbeat of a Christian. What would come next, you might ask? Number 8 is completion. Once you've come to understand how the Christian has come to be, you'll perhaps begin to be ready for the completion that the Bible tells us about. To understand the completion that we're told to be prepared for, you need to understand first creation. And this takes us all the way back to Creator God, where we began. We need to understand first the creation, secondly, the crucifixion of Christ, and thirdly, the completion that He will usher in at one point. You see, when we look at the creation to the crucifixion, that time span, what we'll see is God's grace. He was doing some amazing things and demonstrating His amazing grace. When we look at the time between the crucifixion and what we are now calling completion, that's the time where we see God's gospel on display. That's now, Christian. This is the time of the Great Commission. This is when we're sharing and bringing the gospel to the world. And when you look at the space between completion and creation, or back to the Creator, this is where you see God's glory. You see, when the completion of Christ's return happens, it will be the epitome of the greatest display of God's glory that has ever been. And that's why when we look at stage 8 and we see completion at the center of creation, crucifixion, and completion, we find Jesus the Christ. He is at the center of all things. And He brings us to the final stage, which is closure. And in some ways, this is a bit anticlimactic because it is so simple and so direct, but it is eternal and essential. For you see, the three circles of closure involve here, heaven, and hell. And when you look at the subset between here and heaven, you'll find the love of Jesus Christ. The fact that there is still time between here and heaven, it's the proof that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that you and I and others could come to know Him as Lord and Savior and have a home in heaven. When you look at the subset between heaven and hell, here we find lies. This is where the world, the flesh, and the devil are doing war, trying to keep everybody away from the truth and the love that will take them from here to heaven in Christ. So there's a battle, a war between truth and love, truth and lies, between heaven and hell. This is where the lies are on display. And to come to closure, between here and hell, that subset is filled with the lost. Those who are here and have not yet found themselves in heaven or hell, but if they refuse the love and the truth of the gospel, those who die in that subset between here and hell will end up lost and gone forever. And at the center of this diagram, again, it seems somewhat anticlimactic, but this is closure. This is the end. There will be no do-overs. There's no annihilation. There's no deep sleep. every single human being will spend a very real conscious eternity closed into their final burial place. If you died in Christ, you will be with him forever, praise God, in heaven. If you die without him, you will spend eternity in a very real hell. And the doors to both will be closed forever. My prayer is that in understanding the facts, while for some this may carry the aroma of death, my prayer is that for you it will carry the aroma of life and draw you into the faith and the family of Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen.